And actually, during the week, I was out and about visiting with some of the homeless. And there was a guy out by Fry's, and he had a sign, and it said, homeless, hungry, and hopeful. Now, I've never seen that before. But out of that sort of spurred some things in me. And out of that came what we'll be talking about today. Because in the season that we're in right now, I believe that we need to make room for Jesus. And I believe that we're in a season that we need to be welcoming him into our hearts and making room. Would you turn with me this morning to Luke 19? Verses 1 through 6. He, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. And was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Then in Luke 2:7, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Father, we thank you this day, Father, for your word, and Father, for Jesus, the Son of God. And Father, we just ask that today that you would come into this place in your way. Father, we want to honor you and honor your name this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I just love the parallel that these two circumstances of life draw about Jesus and the way that he treated before he was born and his public ministry and life. You see, Mary and Joseph were required by decree that they would go and be registered in Bethlehem. For these circumstances of life, we can draw some assumptions from the way that things in the city of Jerusalem went down for Mary and Joseph, and yes, even Jesus, before he was born. But first, we must realize that Bethlehem was the 13th largest city in Palestine at that time. There were recorded to have been 1,435 residents at the time of the birth of Jesus. So if you're able to picture the ebb and flow of the things of that day, a decree went out. Everyone was required to return to their own city to be registered. So Mary and Joseph, with Jesus, made their journey to Bethlehem. Although Jesus wasn't born, he was Jesus. Faced with the population of those returning to be registered themselves, make you wonder what it was like on the streets of Bethlehem as they arrived to be registered. I'm not sure, but it could be like shopping at Target on Black Friday. Or shopping in the toy aisle at Walmart today, as shoppers are frantically trying to get the most desired toy or the best gift for a close friend or family member. Or perhaps driving down Highway 92 through the construction zone. But in Bethlehem, because of the crowds of people that were coming, there was just no room in the inn. No room for Mary. No room for Joseph. No room for Jesus that was to be born. At this critical time, there was not room for Jesus from the rulers, from the people of Bethlehem, and from the innkeeper of that day. But a place for Jesus was found in the most unlikely place, in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. But many followed the star and came and worshiped the promised king. They all made room in their hearts for Jesus. Then Zacchaeus, as Jesus was coming to Jericho, and as the crowds were gathered, Zacchaeus knew that he must see Jesus. So he climbed a sycamore tree. He saw Jesus, and he heard what he had to say. More importantly, Jesus saw Zacchaeus and told him, "I'm coming to your house today." Not only did Jesus see Zacchaeus, but he knew that he must go to his house. Zacchaeus had a heart that wanted to know more about Jesus. So Zacchaeus made room for Jesus in his life. Jesus went to his house. From that, the heart of Zacchaeus was changed. Salvation was set in the house of Zacchaeus. But for the world, even in the most joyous time of the year, many don't have a place for Jesus. And many don't even call it Christmas, but would rather call it a holiday season or the holidays, when it should be the most joyful time of the year. Has come a time of remembrance of the past, a burden and a sadness in many hearts. In fact, there were some misconceptions, even in Bethlehem. The innkeeper had no idea that Jesus or this couple was going to birth the Son of God. If that had been true, if he had known, he would have probably made room. There would have been a way. But you see, the fact was, prophecy was unfolding. Because here's what happened. Jesus was born in a borrowed manger. He was nailed to a cross that was not his. He was buried in a tomb that was not his. But hallelujah, today he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and it is his throne, and it is not borrowed. It is his. How about us? It seems that history has unfolded before us, The revelation of God has been brought to us. We have received the power and the revelation and salvation of the engrafted Word of God. But somehow, along the way, life itself, priorities, work schedules, fears has engaged us, and we allowed the God of our salvation to take a lesser place in our life. And this we began to silently but loudly proclaim, there is little room in the inn for Jesus. And then there are things in our lives that has caused Jesus to be pushed back. He's in the background and does not have the place of priority in your life that he once did. So is there a move that can be made in the right direction and allow him to take his rightful place once again? How will you make room for Jesus today? You think about that. What can I do to make room for Jesus? I think the number one thing is that we need to get rid of some clutter in our life. Now, I don't know about you, Pastor Marge and I have moved several times in the city, and the left picture is that of the garage, and it's not our garage, I want to assure you. We would move one day, and the next day people would come and say, what's going on in your garage? You just moved in? Yes. Cars are parked inside the garage. Stuff is put away, and we're moving on. But then there's a closet. I don't know if any of you have a clutter like this in your house. But the fact is there are things spiritually in our lives that have cluttered our lives. And in that, what we've done is we've really pushed and not made room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be in our life. Matthew 19:21 says this. Jesus said to him, if you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. Here we had a ruler that came to Jesus and wanted to follow him. He told Jesus that he had kept the commandments from the very beginning of time, even from youth. But Jesus said to him, that's not enough. You've got clutter in your life, is what he's saying to him. There's stuff that has become more important to you than me and the kingdom of God. Here's what you need to do. He says, sell your possessions. What I would say is get rid of your clutter. Take some of what you sell, give to the poor. Then come and follow me. I don't know about you, but I've had my own clutter. We've all had to get rid of clutter in our life. There's many times it's been a battle for me, for Pastor Marge, and for us. And I'm sure you've got your own clutter that you have to struggle through, and it's a battle to get through it. But I tell you, the other side of it is victorious, because God wants you to come out on the other side. Some of the clutter could be busyness. Those things that just consume your time. Those things that take you away from God. And those things that take you away from what He told you you're to do. You see, right now, as we're in the season of celebrating Jesus, Messiah, the coming King, it's easy, if we're not guarded, to get our eyes off of Jesus and get them on the secular. The gifts. How many gifts am I going to get? How big are they going to be? The most costly and quickly we forget it is not about the tree. It's not about the gifts. But it's rather about the greatest gift that was ever given to all mankind. Jesus, the Son of God. Today we need to make room for Jesus to come in. Matthew 11, 28, 29 says this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest." Can you say rest this morning? Rest for your souls. As we look at verse 28 and understand, weary and heavy laden, this comes from the Greek word kopeo, which describes the most wearisome kind of labor. This is a person who has given everything he has to a project or assignment. He is striving, laboring, and working with every fiber of his being. But the Greek tense describes people who have been laboring under this load without a pause for a very long time. Their work has been wearisome, exhausting, and unending. And I can look through this congregation and tell you that there are people that are like that, right in the middle of your struggles, exhausted, wore out. The words heavy laden, a load of burden that is normal and expected for an individual to carry in life. It was a military term that described the backpack that every soldier was required to carry as a part of their career or assignment as a soldier. The weight of these backpacks and bags were determined by the length of the soldier's journey. If his trip was short, the weight would be less. But if the assignments mandated a long journey, the weight of the backpack or bag would be much heavier laden. This means Jesus was referring to people who had been doing their job for a very long time. And their job wasn't done yet. Their journey had not been a quick, short, and easy one, and much of it was still before them. They had quite a long distance yet to go before they reached their destination. Knowing how exhausted they were, yet how further they had to go before them, they were finished. Jesus told them, "Come to me. I will give you rest." The word rest in the Greek, anapaio, which means to rest, to relax, to calm, to get run over in Walmart, Sometimes what's happening, in the midst of everything we're doing, we fail to rest. We fail to relax. We fail to calm. And the other word that is in the Greek says, refresh. Boy, when I look, and I've been in the stores, and Pastor Martin says, are you sure you want to go to Walmart tonight? No, but I know a shortcut we can get in and get out quick. But you see, during this time, we need a time of refreshing. And the Word tells us that the refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. And it is in His presence that we become refreshed. The Word goes on to carry the meaning of to pause, to cease, to desist, or to refrain. In our modern day language, it could be translated to be take a breather, take a break, have a hiatus, a lull, an interval, an interruption, or just take time away. Jesus never promised that he would take difficult assignments away from you. Jesus never said he would take difficult assignments away from you. However, he did promise that if you would come to him, he would give you the rest you need in order to be refreshed for the continuation and the conclusion of the journey. So when it seems like you've given all you have, but there's still so much for you to do before you're finished, take a breath from your journey. Go to Jesus for supernatural refreshing. Then in Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. The word take is where Jesus is offering to deliberately lift or to deliberately take up what you have. Jesus will take what you have as you will deliberately, intentionally invite Jesus into the harness. But so many times what's happening is we're in the harness by ourselves. Because when Jesus steps in, he'll help you pull the load and the plow that is behind you. Here Jesus is saying very loudly to us, make room for me and you and I will do the rest. You see, what Jesus wants, he really wants to be your Savior. He wants to come and forgive you of all your past hurts, all your wounds, all your disappointments, your failures, and whatevers. Lord, we all have our whatevers. And he wants to become, in your situation, in your life, where you are, all that you need for now. So that you can be all that he's intended for you to be because of the cross. As baptizer, Ephesians 5:18 says this, don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to assure you today that in baptism, we're not talking about getting baptized in water. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit of God comes in and occupies you, fills you up to everything that you need. As a baptizer, God desires that you be filled. Not so that you speak in tongues. Not so that you get slain in the Spirit. Not so that you can go out to somebody and say, guess what, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and guess what I can do. But he said that he would empower us when the Holy Spirit has come upon us so that we can be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, and we will be empowered to overcome the works of the enemy and to be victorious in our lives. And that's why we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can assure you today that I've done it with it, and there's no way to do it without him. We need Holy Spirit in our life. He also wants to be our deliverer. I would say to you today that God is real. Amen? You don't sound like you mean it. All the stuff that you've been through, God's brought you on the other side of, you should be shouting glory, hallelujah, because God is real in this house. God is real in your life. You're sitting proof today of what God's done because you're here. Satan is real. I worked for a chaplain one time that didn't believe that Satan was real. But looking at him, I believed he was. If Satan can convince you that he's not real, his demons are not real, he's already won the battle against you. But see, Jesus said, I came so that you can have life, that you can have life more abundant. That's Zoe life. God breathed life that can come to you. In all of our lives, we've had our demons. And I'm not just calling things in our life demons. I'm telling you, demons are real and alive today. If you've been through what I've been through, and Pastor Joseph has been through, and a lot of other people have been through, we can attest to the fact demons, Satan is real. But God is more powerful than all of that. Doesn't matter what's operating in your life. Doesn't matter what doors you have opened up to allow things to come in to attack you, bring you down. The God of God and King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will step in on your behalf, and he will cause those demons to flee in the name of Jesus. Because as we step into the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, but we will rise up and say, you are bound in the name of Jesus, and we cast you out of our lives because we're going to walk this way and not that way. God is our deliverer. God is our source. He is our yes and amen. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that is our sufficiency as we rely upon him. Too many have got entangled and the affairs of this life. And that's what the word says. We have allowed fear of man and other things to entrap us. And sometimes we'd rather play with our demons than receive the freedom that God wants to give. Because you're comfortable in that place. If you want to be free, you've got to say yes to the Spirit of God. He's more willing to step in on your behalf than you realize. John 10:10 says, Satan came to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you can have life, that you can have it and more abundant. There are things and circumstances that have tried to destroy you. I can't speak for you, but I assure you I feel the pain, the anguish, the things that many of you go through. But God wants you delivered from that. He wants you to come out on the other side of it. I assure you today that God is our source. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He came for the exact purpose as you may not be bound by the demons, bound by the disease, bound by the circumstance, the bad relationship, and those who try to rule over your life. But he came that you could have freedom from fear and the power that the enemy has set against you. Today is a day that you can begin that walk in freedom because God is here to make sure of that in your life. He is our completer. God does not want you to just have half a life. He wants you to have a life that is full of joy. Advent, joy. Full of God. Full of Him. God is the one that makes all things right. Now, you might be thinking in your mind, now I know how to pray now. But I want to tell you this, that God is not a God that is a get-even God. God is not a get-even God. You got circumstances in your life, you say, I can pray that, and I'm going to get even. But God is the one that will make it right, because from the beginning of all time, He is the God that will see to it. Now, let me just take a sidestep. Don't be praying things that are not the Word of God. If you're stepping outside of the Word of God, you have now stepped into an area of manipulation. But God said that He would make it right for you. Where you have been done wrong in your life, get right with God, get in tune with Him, begin to pray, begin to seek Him. Let God do the other things. Then things will be different. Let God complete it for you. I've found, and I've had a lot of conversations with people, We found that when we start doing things our way, it doesn't always end up like we want it to end up. But somehow, when we're able to just take our hands off and say, God, I just give it to you. You can see the beginning, from the beginning to the end. I can only see where I'm at. But somehow God is after what's in you right now to get you to move forward in Him. So as we let go, God steps in. And He begins to complete some things for you. I like what Psalms 18:24 in the Message says. God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before Him. When I got my act together, He gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. Every day I review the way He works. I try not to miss a trick. I feel put back together, and I'm watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to His eyes. The third thing we need to do is live in the overflow. John 7:38 says, He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. You see, there's a place in God where you can live out and the overflow. God doesn't want to give you enough anointing and presence so you can experience personal breakthrough. He wants to give you more than that. You can be so full of Holy Spirit that His presence is overflowing out of your inner spirit man into every area of your soul and body, and then into the space that is around you. As His presence overflows from within you, your breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for somebody else. The anointing that empowers can overflow outside of you, bringing healing and freedom to everyone you come in contact with. You may not like the place you work. You may not like what you're doing. But if you will let the anointing of the Holy Spirit fill you up to your capacity, to the place that you get to a place of overflow, then all of a sudden those people that are in the workplace are going to begin to be changed because of the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in your life. And there will be people coming into the kingdom of God because they see something that is different in you that they want. They said one time, this is the first time I've seen you in church. The first time I've seen the church on fire. If we'll get on fire with the power of God in our life, if we'll get on fire with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we'll get on fire with the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of us, not going to have to worry about this church anymore. We're going to have to figure out how to get walls bigger, how to get more seats in, how to make room. Because the fact is where the presence of God abides in His people, it's going to be a drawer for others to come in to the kingdom of God. It's been prophesied in this house. It's going to happen. We've got to get on board with what God wants to do, allow His anointing to flow in us and through us and out of us to change Sierra Vista. Go beyond where you are. Pour into others. It's not just about us. Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more we see the day approaching. Pastor Eric has often spoke about discipleship. And you're not filled to the place that you are to retain what you have. You weren't saved to feel good. You weren't saved just so that you can go to heaven. You were saved for God's divine strategy and purpose. So that out of your reservoir of knowledge and what God has poured into you, there needs to be a pouring out into other people. We can't be a part of a Bless Me club. We can't be a part of something where God has anointed me and I filled his presence, and boy, that's good enough for me. Can you imagine if everybody sitting here today was full of the presence and the power and the anointing of God, and when you were released out of here, you go out into the city, what would happen? There would be an explosion of what God wants to do in this city. But I want to tell you that the pastors cannot do that alone. We need you on board with us to make sure that we can accomplish in the future what God's calling Shiloh and this house to be. I watch you, and I've watched you for years. We've got gravitators. We got people that gravitate to this section. Got people that gravitate to this section. And then Pastor Marjorie said to me, said, did you see so-and-so in church? I said, well, I went over to that side. And we have to intentionally get out of where we are to get over to the other side sometimes. There are people that you will directly connect with. Here's what I'd like to encourage you in today is this. Find people that you connect with. Have a coffee with them. Have a dinner with them. Meet with them for prayer. Hear their heart. Love on them. God has put stuff in you that you need to share with them. That's how mentoring works. So that we can be trained up into what God wants us to do. And then there will come a point, you can't hold on to them for all of your life. The truth is, as we mentor, as we impart, that's Holy Spirit working through us. Then we need to be enabled to release them to begin to do the same. Can you imagine the unity that God would bring the house of Shiloh if you began with just one person? And it doesn't have to be just in this church. If you begin with one person, be renewed and refreshed in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1, 20 and 21 says, but you, you talk to me, Lord? Yes, you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Don't pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. How can you pray in the Holy Spirit if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? How can you build yourself up in the most holy faith if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? How can you keep yourself in the love of God if you're not? But wait anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Ephesians 4:23 reminds us to do this. Be renewed in the Spirit and put on the new self. Here's how it goes. Get the world out. Get God in. Get your mind under the rulership of Jesus. I'm going to ask Ryan if he would come. Mind under the rulership of Jesus Christ. We need a renewed mind. We need. I can tell you, you know, I go through some of the same struggles that you do. You walk down the street, you get this stuff hitting you all the time in your mind. Need to stand against it with the authority of God. Bring your mind under the rulership of Jesus Christ. Be full of Holy Spirit. I almost brought a pitcher today with water in it and a glass. You can't be half full. We need to be all the way filled up with Holy Spirit. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to be released into the purposes of God. Can we stand together this morning? Here's what I want to ask you this morning. Can we today begin by pushing away the influences and the mindsets that have controlled our lives? Can we allow Holy Spirit to invade and fill us? Can we push away things that have caused the essence of Jesus to be pushed out of our lives? Today, where can you make room for Jesus? Where?